Welcome to The Church Planter's Life, a podcast exploring the possibilities and pain of starting a missional incarnational church. This podcast is a resource of the V3 movement. V3 is a grassroots training organization for men and women planters around the country. Thanks for tuning in as our host Matt Alexander leads the conversation.
Hey everybody, welcome to Planter's Life podcast. This podcast is sponsored and powered by the V3 movement. V3 is a coaching and training organization that comes alongside people who have a sense of call to start a new expression of the church in their neighborhood or in their city or in their town, wherever you live. And you want to plant in kind of a missional incarnational way. We want to come alongside you, support you in that, offer some coaching, some resources, some training in that. We do that in all sorts of different ways. You can learn more at V3 if you go to the website, which is the v3movement.com. And we're talking today with my friend John Carter out in Ithaca, New York, who is a planter with 3C Church out there. How are you, John?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, man.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're excited. I'm excited to be here with you. Tell us a little bit about Ithaca, about your context, and what it's like, how long you've been there, what it's like to live there, what are some of the ebbs and flows, dynamics of that, of the city of Ithaca and the region, and share a little bit also about how you kind of got going with planting and what that was like for you.
Sure thing. Ithaca is a place that I never thought I'd be living in. In my younger years, I came to the Lord when I was around 17 and fell in love with missions, went overseas a bit in India and did some work there. When we came back, I was taken to North Carolina, funny enough, Asheville. We were talking about it before the podcast start.
Yeah.
And we planted a church there that failed miserably with a couple and came back with our tail between our legs. And I ended up getting into pastoral ministry. And they slapped the name pastor on me because, you know, I did all the tech and the music and the youth. So we got that guy who's going to give him a stipend and we'll call him a pastor because, you know, that's how we grew churches up here in New York, I guess, during that time frame. But I still had a hunger and a desire to do something more. And I couldn't quite scratch that itch. So I ended up doing a lot of, I would say, big growth church, consumerism type church things, and really good at it. Got paid well. Ended up working at a Christian radio network out of that. Got hired on there and became their branding agent and their media guy. Just rebranded this whole thing. And it's a pretty large ministry for upstate New York, and it reaches a lot of people. But man, I just tell you, I just felt this discontent. I looked around and I felt like we were staring out the ivory tower to the unwashed masses, and just felt like we really weren't connecting with the material that this radio station was putting out, or even any of the church stuff that I had done from the time we came back from North Carolina. So I started getting these thoughts about what it actually means to be missional. And in my mind at that time, which is probably only about 12 years ago, I started to developing this imagery of the missionary, you know, back in the 1800s and the 1700s, you know, going overseas, and my small experience in India, and just going, well, why don't we really do that as much anymore? What is that about? And I just started becoming more and more fixated on that. And I remember one time reading about Jesus up on the mountain and coming down and assigning the 72 to go out into the countryside and just connecting with people. And the things that he was telling him, I'm like, wow, this is interesting. It's like a playbook for missional life, you know, that he was spelling out there. And I started talking to my wife about it. At the time I was working at this Christian radio station, I was kind of working with artists and bands who were Christian artists. And I just became so disgusted that we were making all of this music for us. There was something about my creative giftings and just pouring it into a system that was basically feeding us cake and ice cream all the time. And I didn't understand why the worship leader and the Christian songwriter was the pinnacle of our Christian experience in the arts. I started becoming discontented with that. So Amy and I started praying, and a lot of things started to happen at that point. Probably the first time in our marriage when we got up together every morning and prayed together.
Yeah.
And, you know, one day I was just, I had a vivid picture in my mind to contact this person who was in the music business, who owned a recording studio out here in Ithaca. And he came into my mind, and I'm sitting there eating, you know, Frosted Flakes. And I go, honey, what did you hear this morning? And she goes, I think you're supposed to call this guy, Peter Hopper.
Wow.
I'm like, I can't believe you said that. I was literally thinking that. And so I did. I sent an email, and within 30 minutes, I get this email back. Hey, come check out my studio. And that was the beginning of the end. And I moved out of the vocation of the Christian radio and the church planting through the attractional church model into a secular vocation in music. And to be honest with you, we had no idea what we're doing. And we ended up in this studio, which, by the way, this is the worst time in all of mankind to get into the music business.
Yeah.
You know, in this house that we moved into hadn't been lived in 10 years. There were literally woodland creatures living in this place. And it was missional life, man. Like, we wanted it. Here we go. And in a city that is a music and arts city, and in a city that is traditionally hardcore against Christianity.
Yeah.
Has a reputation. So I'm like, God, what are you doing? And all of a sudden, all these people around us just started like prophesying and praying for us that we're pioneering something. And you know how God just starts to encourage you and giving you the wind to actually make it through that tough transition? We experienced that.
Yeah.
Long story short, I got into the book, The Church's Movement, and I started to recognize that we didn't have a discipleship core in the midst of this. And I started praying that God would send a team to build Ecclesia with us.
Yeah.
Because every time I got hooked into a church around here, they started to colonize our talent base. The people that were in our community. These are mostly Christians working in the studio, working with people who don't know Jesus. Okay.
Okay.
And we loved that interaction. The studio is such a great place to connect with people and for them to see your life.
Yeah.
And it was just every time we got hooked into a church, all of our talent base was being swallowed up. They would start paying us. And then all of a sudden we realized our vocational value was being eaten up by this stuff. And we finally, after two attempts, stepped back and said, okay, we got to start a church. And we just want a space where we come and meet, fellowship, and connect. And we also want to protect our ability to serve this community in the arts and in music. Even recording people who hate God, doing whatever it takes to create these spaces for them. I didn't even know what I was talking about. But when I started reading Church is Movement, I was like, this is exactly what we're trying to do.
Wow.
So this must be God. And that's how we started. So 5 years ago, we started seeing young people start to connect with us. And we started building a discipleship core literally 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And now that that's intact, we are developing strategy and we are developing revenue to try to create space for people in this community and for artists who really just don't have anything to do with God.
Yeah.
And just to finalize that, our mentality is Christian media isn't going to change the world. Music, I don't even think might not change the world. But what I think does change the world is our call to disciple the artist. And discipling artists, and it's not the only people who are in our community or our extended community, but really that is our focal point, and that seems to be where God is using us. So
yeah, very cool. And that's a huge, so Ithaca, right, is an incredibly artistic, creative community as well. Like, this is a huge part of just the culture and the fabric of the city.
I call it Nashville and New York.
Yeah.
Similar. It's the weirdest music you'll ever hear. You know, we don't know how to actually, we don't know what to call it. You know, the genre is Ithaca music.
Okay.
So, yeah. So just as can I just extend a little piece of this? One of the opportunities we had is somebody approached us in the city. And at year one, we actually learned about this guy who went around the city and tried to figure out what the problems were in the city. This actually happened to us. We had somebody approach us and say, hey, can you do a podcast about Ithaca's music and record it for, you know, for free?
Yeah.
And can you then help us put it together and get it out there so people can know what Ithaca music sounds like? And I said, absolutely. And the first thing he said, he goes, I heard you were a Christian. I just don't want you to convert the people that we work with. I'm not joking. He says, yeah. I trust you. I go, man, we're just here to do a good job for you.
Yeah.
And so we did that podcast. And from that podcast, we developed all these relationships with people in the city. Wow. So, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah. So if I came up to Ithaca and wanted and would just was there to immerse my life, immerse myself for a month in the studio, in 3C, in all the different elements of this church planting missionary endeavor, mm-hmm. what would I experience? What would my day-to-day or week-to-week be like? How do you guys gather? How are you connecting with people? How is it, what would my life maybe look like?
Yeah, those are the questions we actually asked ourselves for a little while. And basically pattern spaces and get a job.
Yeah.
You having a job, everybody here has a job. There's no full-time pastoral role or anything like that. We're all working. And when that's put aside, we have Sunday, we come together and worship. And then we do a block party three times a year.
Okay.
We do Friendsgiving. We do a summer block party up here on the hill. And just being present in these spaces is really our biggest role.
Hmm.
And the secondary reality is communion. So it's 3C because it's communion, community, and commission.
Yeah.
Right? That's right out of the book.
Yeah.
And that is the pattern of Jesus. That is the pattern of missional life. It is the pattern of the great, the commandment to go and make disciples.
Yeah.
Right? So even in the smallest level, we're trying to do that. Like with the little bit of space we can cultivate, that's what it looks like. You getting a job, joining us for Sunday worship and teaching, sharing it with your gifts, and then also being a part of the spaces that we create for people in either our vocation or at the block parties that we do.
Yeah, I love it. Well, so what's been maybe something for you as you guys have been on this journey of learning how to make disciples in Ithaca, being in community, doing that with other, having a core, developing a core. What have been, maybe what's like an example or a story of something that's like really brought you a lot of joy in that, really life-giving, and something that's like been really painful, really life-draining, that sucked life and energy from you?
Well, there's no money in music, so that's painful. Yeah. So it's all kind of tied together. The story would be from those relationships we formed, we developed a trust in town with some of the biggest artists in town.
Hmm.
One specifically is Maddie Walsh and the Blind Spots, and they're touring nationally.
Okay.
They've never quite broken their glass ceiling and gotten passed into fame, but they are huge here. And they are trusting us to serve them by providing the space for rehearsal space, providing space to record some of the stuff they do for almost no money. Because artists don't have money.
Yeah.
But they're absolutely the real deal. They're out doing it. They have a role. And that part is joyful. I get phone calls. I get texts during the day looking for encouragement. These are people that are highly respected in the community as artists. And they talk to me and they talk to people on our team.
Yeah.
This one guy, his name's Kurt Riley. He's also had a 10-year experience where he's, by the way, he came from a conservative background, rebelled and went into music. And we talk about God more than I think I've ever talked about God with anybody than when I was in a church.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's a regular discussion.
Yeah.
And also, how am I doing? How am I playing? What's my art like to you? He's asking me those questions. So I feel like we have the king of the year, even though we're not the king. Right. I'm sorry, we're the ear of the king, even though we're not the king. It's like we get to be that voice in their life. So that's incredible joy. And we've just started to discover that with the trust that we've been afforded to these people. Now, the hard part is the people that have supported us, the donor base, they don't understand why we're making music that isn't Christian music. And I've had those phone calls where I get a call. It's like, hey, I don't see God on your website anymore. I don't see God in your music. I don't see God on your Facebook. And I go, well, I can tell you he's right here. He's right here with us.
Yeah.
And you're not going to see God in our media. Maybe.
Yeah.
Mostly you're not. What you are going to see God in is our relationships with the people that we're working with in media.
Yeah.
And that's hard. I you know, people's like, I want to be a pioneer. No, you don't. It's hard.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing about that, dude.
Yeah.
What, so you talked earlier about forming the, you know, cultivating over time, like the team and the discipleship core. So maybe double click on that a little bit. What is that? What does it mean to be a part of a discipleship core in this church plant? What does that look like practically? How are people kind of growing or walking out their faith together in that type of kind of layer?
Sure. So that is an intimate circle of people that are absolutely on the journey of discipleship and leadership in the church.
Yeah.
We're polycentric in nature. We've learned to kind of deconstruct what church hierarchy looks like and to operate as ecclesia, which is really to hear God together. In fact, I don't think we make the decisions until we've learned how to perfect our ability to hear together and pray together. Which has been an eye opener for me, because I came from a lot of hierarchical kind of like top down type of leadership.
Sure.
Me standing aside has never happened. Like it's been kind of great, a little uncomfortable, but for them, we just go through material. That book we went through for 2 years.
Yeah.
It was basically our, I mean, Dan told me when they started their church up here, they basically created that book by writing everything down as a group of people together.
Right.
Kind of writing out the constitution of who they were.
Yeah.
And he kind of cut to the quick with a lot of that stuff and was like, oh yes, you know, and we kind of took pieces of that. We have our own values. And so as a group, as ecclesia, we come together and we've developed our axioms. We've developed our ethos. And it also looks like, trying to get people within this group to learn how to teach, to learn how to contribute. I mean, the hardest part is getting these people to contribute. When you're the fire starter, you just can only burn for so long, right?
Yeah.
And you want to get these people on fire to share in that leadership.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it does. Yeah. That's helpful. Yeah, it's helpful. What, yeah. So you talked about, like the weekly gathering for worship. And is that for the discipleship core? Is that like an open space for other friends and connections that are happening to join together? How does that, you guys kind of have like a liturgy used for that space, or how does that work?
Yeah. We started to develop liturgy,
which
was totally new. I come from a charismatic background. So liturgy is like the kryptonite of my spiritual walk. Right.
Right.
I'm an energetic guy, and I always thought it was dumb until I was explained to me what it actually is, which is a confession in a community together of what we are in Christ, who, what we are doing in our, you know, our walk. And it has been so liberating and so unifying. Sometimes we have music, sometimes we don't. I think that, ask that question again. There was a question. I lost the train of thought.
Just kind of how did your rhythm of gathering work, I suppose.
Okay, right.
So my question.
So we do not ask on any, it's not open.
Okay.
It's for us. And one of the greatest things that have been stolen from the church is the space of intimacy, of worship, fellowship, liturgy before God. Again, I referenced when Jesus was on the mountaintop before they went down to, when he sent 72 out, it was just them and God. There was no unbelievers to impress up there.
Sure.
You know, I think that it's really important that we don't ask people into our bedroom, you know, with God. until they're ready to really have that connection. And, you know, the work of the Father in them is brought them to confession. Mm-hmm. And they start to feel conviction, and they, and we've seen that happen a couple of times, and that's where we mm-hmm. invite them into that place. Mm-hmm. But today, I think that intimacy is stolen because we're putting on the Sunday morning extravaganza, not to be mm-hmm. so blunt, but it's mm-hmm. it's more about the show than it is about us connecting with each other right. and with God.
Right.
So we've purposely removed that. It's not okay. For anything but us right now yeah. on that time. Yeah.
And the spaces that are open are obviously the relationships that are happening in the studio, in the work that the Discipleship Corps is doing in the neighborhood, in the city, in the barbecue or the block parties that you guys do. Or do you have other kind of tentacles that are kind of like these open spaces, or is that kind of the primary ways y'all engage with that?
Those two are primary to us. The studio is that I'm going to reference some Axiom Church in Syracuse. Yeah. They built Salt Light City.
Yeah.
Sorry, Salt City Cafe. Salt City excuse Cafe, me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that would be our studio.
Yeah. Cool.
Again, it's a fantastic space to connect with people. And conversations come up. The block party is more of a social environment. There's right. alcohol, there's food.
Right.
And we just like, I've learned that people want to hide a little bit.
Yeah.
In those spaces, and they slowly come out of their hermit crab shell and start talking to you. And sure. so those three times a year that we do that, we've started to build what I would call an extended
right.
church community.
Right. Yeah.
Very and cool. you know what? They know who we are. I mean, you don't sure. have to really tell people. They know that you're a believer. It's sure. funny.
Sure. sure. Yeah. That's cool. So,
yeah.
That's good stuff, man. What do you wish you knew when you got started that you know now?
That small isn't bad. Mm. And that you don't need money to do the gospel like we think we do. Mm. Because I feel, part of my deconstruction was incredible amounts of depression and shame for feeling like a failure.
Yeah.
Seeing the people in my life who have the numbers and the things like that. I didn't choose this because I wasn't good at that. I actually was good at that, and I was making money doing that. I chose this because I felt a conviction that we were no longer salt and light in my Christian walk, and I just couldn't bear it anymore. But I'll tell you, it's definitely a depressing thing to go through this process. It's painful and it's slow. You think relationships should happen like that. And to be honest with you, I don't even know how they did other than the Lord working in our lives together. Yeah. And now we have a family.
Yeah.
So that organic process is not shameful, and it's not wrong. I actually think it's how God intended. It's a secret weapon of the gospel for it to be this humble. Mm.
I love that. It's beautiful. What, how could people stay connected to you? Who want to hear more about the studio, who want to hear more about the art and life that's coming out of the studio, but also the community and different things you guys are innovating with and experimenting with up in Ithaca.
Absolutely. You can follow us along, like obviously on Facebook, Instagram. New Vine Records is our storefront.
Yeah.
As far as anything else within the community here, there's nothing external that way.
Yeah.
But you know, you can follow us on New Vine Records on Facebook, Instagram. I'm on Twitter. Mine is John Carter Says.
Cool.
It's my Twitter handle. And I am, believe it or not, going to write a book within the next year. I've been encouraged and I think I'm actually going to do it. So
very cool.
And it's going to be about creativity and the image of God in us and what it looks like for an artist to actually be an artist in a without the sacred secular.
Yeah.
Separation.
Yeah, yeah. So very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I love that. That's super fun. I'll buy it.
I hope so.
You gotta make money somehow.
That's the only thing that people buy anymore. They don't buy music,
yeah.
I can tell you that much.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, thanks for hanging with us today, John, and sharing your story, dude. Really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
And make sure to check out the V3 website. That's the V3 movement planterslife.com to learn more about all the different resources and ways to connect with the tribe. We'll see you next time.
We hope you discovered something meaningful in this podcast for your church planting journey. To connect with our training, tribe, and tools, go to thev3movement.org.